You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
In his role as Regulation Minister, David Seymour is moving to simplify regulations for early childhood education centres by the end of this year. This involves a review containing 15 recommendations, which Cabinet has accepted. These recommendations concern a vast number of things, from simplifying licensing criteria for preschools to lowering qualification requirements for early childhood educators. Both of these areas have sparked concern within the sector, with some educators concerned the review is simply a cost-cutting exercise that will result in tamariki being put at risk. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to ACT's Simon Court about the review. But we also spoke about New Zealand First's Members' Bill aiming to have the biological definition of a man and woman defined in law. And finally, we discussed a clash between the party and National's Scott Simpson over an ACC plan to reduce injury for Māori and Pacifica workers. But I started off by asking him about the ECE regulation review and some of the recommendations within the report. Recommendation 10 of the ECE regulatory review is calling for an amendment of regulations which would allow flexibility in qualification requirements and get more teachers into the sector. There have been some concerns in the education sector about this recommendation, with fears it may lead to worse outcomes for tamariki. Why is this change being pushed?
Well, under the current system, there's a whole lot of confusing, complex and duplicative rules that mean ECEs are spending valuable time and energy, including staff who should be with children teaching them, complying with rules, many of which just aren't necessary to ensure child safety. And while it is important that a minimum number of staff who do have the right qualifications are on site and in control of the facility, the requirements for education levels and training appear to be excessive. And so, you know, that is one of the rules that is going to change.
Is the reason for this to get more educators into the sector?
Well, there are 98 separate licensing criteria on providers, many of which are outdated and arbitrary. And where centres can actually be shut down at short notice for breaching a rule even when there's no risk to child safety. So it's really important that people who are interested in the early childhood education sector can see a pathway into that work and into developing their skills and so on. What's also important is that the facilities that they're working in are actually able to operate efficiently and safely. And that's why Cabinet's agreed to simplify the rules.
Early childhood educators say that to retain teachers, that issues like pay parity need to be addressed instead after pay parity was removed for early childhood relief teachers last year. Is the government looking into these issues as well?
Well, that's a separate matter. But in terms of the ECEs and what they're able to pay people, if they are relieved from some of the regulatory burdens and costs, then it does certainly provide them with more flexibility about what they pay staff. And I'll give you an example of some of the rules that need to change. One of the rules is that ECEs have to maintain a constant indoor temperature of 18 degrees when any common sense analysis would tell you that a minor deviation from 18 degrees won't hurt anyone. And what it's led to is centres having to install very, very expensive, almost hospital theatre-like air curtains in the entrances to their facilities, so that when people are coming and going, as parents pick up kids and drop them off, or if they're coming and going from out to play areas, they maintain this 18-degree temperature. Very expensive systems to operate and maintain. And if we can relieve them from the burden of having to comply with ridiculous rules like that, that should provide more flexibility to pay more staff.
When David Seymour was doing his stand-up on this, he brought up a few specific examples. The temperature was one of them. The other one was that ECEs currently hold immunisation records for children aged 15 months and over. And David Seymour said this was a needless duplication as the Ministry of Health holds them anyway. But there are concerns that loosening regulations like this will pose a risk, as ECE services can't actually access Ministry of Health records.
I guess the important thing is that and when children are immunised, there is a record of that. If ECEs are concerned about whether children have been immunised or not, if there's an outbreak of some kind, then you know, that would be the right time for them to contact public health. And you know, I understand that public health keep those records private to safeguard the privacy of individuals. But again, you know, as long as children are immunised and they can, they can be protected from contagious diseases, then you know, that should be sufficient.
New Zealand First have introduced a bill aiming to have the biological definition of a woman and man defined in law. What are the ACT Party's thoughts on this?
Well, the ACT Party is a liberal and libertarian party, and we believe that people should be free to present themselves however they like in a free society. However, that right to self-expression cannot override the rights of others, particularly when it comes to women's privacy and safety and fairness. And that's why, for example, we believe that biological women should not be forced to share public bathrooms, changing rooms, or prisons with men.
So you stand with New Zealand First on their stance?
Well, their bill hasn't been drawn from the ballot, and if it is drawn, ACT Caucus will look at the detail of it before forming a position. But we certainly share the concerns that many New Zealanders have. That you know, while it's really important that people's rights are upheld, particularly to free expression, that there is a biological reality which has led to the safe spaces being created for biological women, like separate changing rooms, separate bathrooms, women's prisons, for example. And it's really, really important that those protections are upheld.
Even your coalition partner National have called this bill a distraction. Does ACT agree with this stance?
Well, we certainly have received, I would have regular questions about these kind of matters when we hold public meetings from people concerned about their children, their daughters, being in situations where they might be exposed to biological men in places that they believe should be safe spaces, like changing rooms, for example. And so, you know, we know there are a group of people in the community who are concerned about this, and, you know, women are concerned about this. And so we want to make sure that we listen to them, but we'll consider New Zealand's First bill if it's drawn from the ballot.
Do you have any examples of those concerns? You say women are concerned. I'm just curious about anything specific.
People have raised at a public meetings with me that they don't want their daughters, particularly as they move into their teenage years, who might be involved in sports, for example, being exposed to male genitalia in a women's changing room at a sports competition. It's a specific example I can give you.
All right, let's move on. Finally, the ACT Party has been at odds with National's Scott Simpson over ACC's ethnic outcome targets that he's introduced. Why does the party disagree with Simpson's stance?
Well, ACT believes that we really should be focusing on injury prevention and reducing serious harm and workplace fatalities. And there are many industries, my background's in the construction industry, where New Zealand has a really poor record of keeping people safe. But rather than focus on the root causes or contributing factors to serious harm and fatal accidents in the workplace, ACC has put out a tender for initiatives to reduce injuries in manufacturing with targets based on race. Everyone deserves to come home safely from work regardless of their race, and there's no evidence at all to suggest that Māori and Pacifica are inherently more injury prone than other workers.
Well, the data does show that Māori and Pacific people experience disproportionately high rates of injury in the manufacturing sector. So does that not indicate that they do have a need for it?
Well, it's quite likely that data indicates that Māori and Pacifica are highly represented in the manufacturing workforce rather than being particularly prone to injury. And that's the problem with focusing on ethnicity or race and losing sight of the fact that people who go into the workplace, no matter what their ethnicity or race, need to be working in places where they're not exposed to unnecessary risk. So that is why ACT's Laura McClure has written to the ACC Minister to express concerns about this tender with race-based injury prevention targets. He has responded to that on Friday afternoon, saying he will be asking ACC to review the tender. And you know, while people might believe that this is you know, an issue that only ACT is concerned about, if you're an employer and you're paying your ACC levies on behalf of workers, or you're a worker or a self-employed person paying your levies to ACC, which can amount to thousands and thousands of dollars a year for some people, particularly in the trades, then you want to make sure that the organisation is actually focusing on initiatives that reduce harm in your industry rather than focusing on what might basically targets for only groups based on ethnicity.
That was ACT's Simon Corr on the government's proposed changes to ECE regulations, New Zealand First's proposed gender bill, and ACC's ethnic outcomes target.
That was Simon Corr from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.